There's a specific kind of Sunday night feeling that has nothing to do with the week ahead and everything to do with the life that you're living. It is not dread exactly. It's more like a low hum of wrongness, like a note being played slightly off key, not loud enough to name, but not quiet enough to ignore. And you go through the motions of the evening, you prep for the week, you tell yourself it's fine. Everyone feels like this. This is just what adult life is. And then you lie down and the question comes, the one you've been out running all week, the one that has no good answer inside the life that you're currently living. Is this it? Is this all there is? And it's not really even said dramatically. It's quietly, kind of in the dark, with the particular exhaustion of someone who's been doing all of the right things in the wrong direction for longer than they want to admit. And the question is not depression. That question is not ingratitude. That question is a compass. And it is pointing at the gap between what you were made for and what you are currently doing with your days. And today, inside this rebellion, we're going to close that gap. And it's sorry, no motivational Instagram bullshit kind of way, but like real honest, this is going to require something of you kind of way. Because listen, bitch, purpose is not found. Purpose is built, and the building starts here now. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast. And I believe we're on 22 of the rebellion, you guys. I said yesterday, like, I really thought this was just going to be a couple of shows, because what could you really cover in a rebellion against the machines and against the world? Okay. But that's 22 episodes of showing up, okay? Of us going deeper, of us refusing to let comfort be the ceiling. And for those of you that have been here from the beginning, something in you has shifted. I know that, and I feel it in the conversations, in the messages, in the people that I see starting to move. Not just think about moving, but like actually move toward the thing that they were always supposed to be building. And this episode is for all of you. The ones who know, the ones who have always known underneath everything what they were made for, and have spent years finding sophisticated reasons to delay it. And today we're going to call that shit out. Today we're going to deal with it. Today we go. I am Brandon Lynette, the podcast authority and coach. My message is your mess is your message. It's your purpose, the specific God-given, irreplaceable reason you're here. It's not separate from your story, it's made of it. Every chapter, every detour, every season that felt like a waste, all of it was material. And I want to teach you how to use it. Today's episode is brought to you by my favorite vibrotactile tech. Okay. This is the connection I want to make. Purpose work, the real kind where, you get honest about what you're called to do and start doing it. It's stressful in a good way. It activates you, it stirs things up. And when your nervous system is activated, I like to have it supported. So I put on this fancy, it's literally a sticker. You guys, zero ingredient sticker, vibrotactile tech. It is like braille for my brain that just kind of reminds me to stay calm in the seat when I am using my voice or interviewing people. I'm not gonna lie. It's still kind of scary. It's still kind of intimidating. I don't think that is ever going to change. I'm dealing with, seven interviews a day. That's different energy. That is me making sure that I am stable, secure, showing up 100% for every single guest. Every single guest needs to feel like they're my only guest of the day. And that takes intention for me. So my Zen patch brings me that peace and the mental clarity and everything I need to be able to show up 100%. So that is my secret weapon, and I'm not keeping it a secret. It's available, safe for everybody. Again, zero ingredients, okay? Big Pharma is not getting a hold on this girl, right? And I want you to be able to say the same. That's just check out the show notes, okay? So getting back into it, you guys, purpose is not a feeling, it's a direction. And I think that the thing that really fucks people up the most and the most consistently is that you're waiting to fill your purpose before you move towards it. You want the clarity to come first, the certainty to arrive, the cosmic confirmation to land before you take a step. And so you wait, and that's where we've got people just consuming more content about purpose. Take more responsibility or personality assessment tests, right? Like you're taking all the quizzes, journaling about it, praying about it. You're talking about it with your therapist, your best friend, and anyone who will sit still long enough. And the purpose is staying stubbornly unfelt, stubbornly unclear, stubbornly somewhere over there, just out of reach. And the truth that will change everything for you is that clarity comes from movement, not from stillness. You do not think your way to a purpose. You move your way to it. You take the imperfect step, the slightly scared step, the I am not fully ready, but I'm going to do this shit anyway step. And in that moving, the path reveals itself. And it's not all at once. It's not a flood of certainty. It's in increments. For me to be able to start this interview show I have that is absolutely phenomenal and blowing up, it was never a sudden firework of certainty. I fought against it. I rebelled. I'm like, there's no way I'm doing an interview show. I'm not doing it, right? It's scary. It's intimidating. I don't know if, like, how could I do this? And little things happened to illuminate the path because I'm still doing the podcast. I'm still open. I'm still asking God every single day, how do I serve you? How do I serve you best? Where do you need me today? What can I do? And everything just lit up, and it wasn't all at once. And as much as it's blowing up now, someone might look from the outside and be like, wow, that's crazy. She started a show 2 months ago and has gone crazy. She's doing seven, eight interviews every single day. What is happening? It might look like that, but this was a slow build, y'all. It's like, think about driving at night. Your headlights are only going to show you the next, what is it, like 200 feet of the road. You cannot see the whole journey from the driveway, but you don't sit in the driveway waiting for the full road to be visible before you pull out and leave, right? You just drive and the headlights move with you. And 200 feet at a time, you get where you're going. That is how purpose works. It's the same way. God is rarely going to show the whole map. He shows the next step. He's not the God of confusion. It's one step at a time. And then he waits and he's going to see if you're going to take it before he shows the one after that. And the distinction the episode is really built on is what you do is not who you are. And what you are called to do is not the same as what you are currently doing. A lot of people have collapsed those three things into one thing: their job, their identity, and their calling, all blurred together into a single thing that they either love or resent in totality. And when someone asks what they do, they answer with their title. And when someone asks who they are, they answer with their role. And when someone asks what they're called to, they answer with their current situation, because the current situation is all they've allowed themselves to imagine. But your job is what you do to fund your life. Your identity is who God says you are, which has nothing to do with your output or your title or your current circumstances. I want that to be very clear. Your calling is a specific assignment He put in you before you were born. The thing that uses your exact combination of gifts and wounds and experience and voice to serve the exact people you were made to serve. Those three things can overlap, sometimes beautifully, but they are not the same. And confusing them is how people end up building a career instead of a life. And the trap that keeps people stuck the longest is waiting to feel ready. And I want to spend some real time here because this one has kept more callings in a draft folder than any other single thing. You guys, ready is a myth. It does not exist as a destination you arrive at before the beginning. It is a feeling that comes after starting, usually about three steps in after the terror of the first step has passed and the evidence of your own capability has started to accumulate. But before those three steps, ready is nowhere. Before those three steps, there is only the fear and the calling and the choice between them. And every single person you admire who is living their purpose made that choice without feeling ready every single time. And there was a season where I knew, I genuinely bone deep knew, there's more than one season, but I'll be specific on this one. I knew that I was supposed to be coaching people toward their voice and their message and their podcast. I had the conviction, I had the experience, I had the results, and I also had a list of reasons why not yet. Same as starting this other interview show. I needed more credentials. I needed a bigger audience. I needed a better website. I didn't want to let my mindset audience down to think that I wouldn't be available for them unless they had a show. So many things came into play. And every time I checked off the list, what happened is more things appear because the list was never the real obstacle. The list was my fears attorney making, very good at making that delay look like I was being wise. And this is the thing, the several things that came into play, which most people would say were hurtful, and little things like being told I would get kickback if I did coach referrals. Okay, again, fool me once. I did that one time, never heard another word, never heard a word, and it's someone that I speak to consistently. And I'm like, well, there's no integrity there, so I can't send people there. Okay. And then the guilt of like people still come to me and they're asking me questions. Everybody wants to know, how do you do a podcast? What do I need? How do I get started? And I felt the heaviness of like, well, I'm not going to refer them to someone that doesn't have the integrity to back their word. And little things just add up. And so I stopped looking at the list and I just dug deep and I had a great conversation with God and I moved anyway. And that's the day that changed. And it's not because the fear went away. You guys know I even have a secret hack for that. It's because I stopped giving it veto power. And if your brain is neurospicy, this trap really has a specific name. And I know a lot of you are going to be like, oh my God, I know that. Analysis paralysis. Our brains can become addicted to the research phase, the planning, the learning, the consuming of information about the thing. And it's just a substitute for actually doing the thing. It feels like preparation, maybe. It produces that same dopamine as progress without the vulnerability of actual exposure. And it can go on indefinitely because there's always more to learn. There's always another angle to consider, always one more piece of information that made you feel ready enough to start, except, ready never comes. The research phase becomes the destination, and then the calling just it just waits. It's going to show up in that Sunday night hum, the low key of wrongness that visits you at the end of every week, that guilt of knowing that people need you and you're not choosing to help them because of your own insecurities, right? It's when the busyness stops long enough for the question to get through. That feeling is not random and it is not ingratitude. It is a gap between your actual life and your called life making itself known in the only moment that's really quiet enough for it to be heard. It shows up when someone else is doing a version of what you're supposed to be doing and you feel something that is not quite jealousy, but not quite admiration, but some uncomfortable combination of both, especially if they don't have integrity. Hint, hint to my experience. And that feeling is your calling recognizing itself in someone else's lane. It is not telling you that they took your spot. It is telling you that your lane is empty and waiting. Okay. It shows up in the conversations that you can't stop having, the topic you keep coming back to, regardless of where the conversation started, the problem you keep trying to solve, the question you keep asking, the people you keep being drawn to, whatever you find yourself talking about at 11 at night when the guards are down and the real you shows up, that is a clue. It's not the whole answer. It's just a clue. And clues are how the calling reveals itself to people who are paying attention. It shows up in your history and the thing you survived that you thought was just a detour, the season that felt like a waste, the failure that felt like the end, or that wound that felt like it disqualified you. That thing, that specific, particular, painful, formative thing is not incidental to your calling. It is central to it. It is the credential that no institution can grant and no computer can replicate. It is the reason your voice gets to say what it says with the authority it carries. Your mess is your message, every chapter, especially the ones that you'd rather skip. And this is the rebellion framing for calling, and it's the sharpest one I think I've probably done all season, really. A person living in their calling is unfireable. A person living in their calling is unmanipulable, unconfinable. You cannot You cannot threaten someone with a job loss when they are building something that belongs to God. You cannot control someone with approval when they already know who the fuck they are and what they're here for. You cannot distract someone with the noise of culture when they're moving towards something with enough clarity and conviction that the noise just doesn't penetrate. They don't give a fuck. The systems, the corrupt government, the exploitative food industry, the pharmaceutical machine, the attention harvesting tech platforms, all of them work better on people without purpose. People without purpose are looking for meaning and they will accept whatever the system offers to fill the gap. Consumption, outrage, ideology, tribe, entertainment, anything that provides the feeling of belonging to something bigger than themselves without the cost of actually becoming something. A person with a calling doesn't need what the system is selling. They are already building something that matters. They are already part of something larger than themselves. The kingdom, the mission, the specific assignment that God put in them before the world began, and that makes them genuinely, practically, functionally free in a way that no external system can touch. And this is why the enemy works so hard at this specific thing, not your money, your calling, your comfort, your purpose, because a person who knows what they're here for and is moving towards that is the most dangerous thing to every structure that profits from your confusion. The calling is the target because the calling is the threat. Jesus came full with clarity of calling. From age 12 in the temple, I must be about my father's business. All the way to the cross. Every decision, every interaction, every seemingly wasted detour ran through the filter of the assignment. The 30 years of obscurity before the 3 years of ministry were not delays, they were preparation. They were the filling of the vessel before the pouring out began. And even the death, especially the death, was the calling fulfilled. We know that. It wasn't an interruption. Your preparation is not a delay. Your obscurity is not a mistake. Your reason of building quietly, of developing the skill, of carrying the wound that will become the wisdom, that is the 30 years for you. And the 3 years are coming, but you have to be in motion for them to find you. You have to start with the clue inventory. It's going to shock you, but I'm going to say write down three things. I know you're like, but bitch, you're like just one all the time. Every day, you're like just one thing. But write down three things. The topic you cannot stop talking about, the problem you cannot stop trying to solve, and the people you cannot stop being drawn to. This gave me my answer in clarity. And these three things taken together are pointing at the shape of your calling. Not the whole picture, just the shape. And the shape is enough to take the step, and God will fill in the rest. The I then identity the bleh, one thing. We're back to the one thing. Okay. I want you to call out the one thing you have been calling preparation that is actually avoidance. Okay. So just the one thing, the course that you don't need, the credential that would be nice, but is not actually required. The website that needs to be perfect before you launch, the audience size you think you need before you start. I want you to name that, all of it, and then decide this week, not someday, to take the step that preparation was protecting you from taking. If you have that neurospicy brain, okay, assign the calling a time slot, not a feeling, not a motivation level, not a readiness threshold, a time. Tuesday at 9 a.m., the calling gets 1 hour regardless of how ready you feel, regardless of what the inner critic says, regardless of what the conditions, what the conditions are, because the neurospicy brain is genuinely terrible at translating. I should work on this when I feel ready. It's got to be put into actual action. It can do Tuesday at 9 a.m. Structure is not the enemy of creativity, and I rebelled against that for a very long time. But if it's written down in my planner, my brain can see that. Structure is what keeps the creativity from being consumed by the chaos of all the other bullshit. Okay. 22 episodes building up to here. And this is where we, everything we've talked about comes down to one question and one answer. And that question is, what were you made for? Why are you here? And the answer is already in you. It has been in you since before you were born. It survived the seasons that tried to bury it, the wounds that tried to define it, the fear that tried to delay it, the systems that tried to replace it with something safer and smaller and more manageable. It is still there waiting. Not impatiently, calling doesn't abandon you, but with a kind of holy urgency that gets louder the longer you wait. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way to your calling is through him. The truth about your calling comes from him, and the life your calling produces, the full, alive, genuinely purposeful life that you were always supposed to be living, is only available through him. That is not some churched up religious statement. Y'all know I'm not in a building on Sundays, okay? That is literally the most practical truth that I know. Your mess is your message. Your story is the credential. Your calling is the assignment, and the time, the actual time, is now. If this episode lands where it was supposed to, I know that you're not going to hesitate when I ask you to like the show, when I ask you to subscribe and leave a written review. I love the stars, but it matters more than you think. And it puts this in front of the person who needs it the exact moment they need it. Okay. Leave the written review. Head to BrandonLynette.com. Get on my love letter list. Go to YouTube, my Listen Bitch podcast YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Help me build that up and watch the video there. Okay. And I just feel like watching it kind of hits different. Make sure you grab my vibrotactile patch in the show notes, okay? Because the work of stepping into your calling deserves a nervous system that can handle the activation. And if you're ready, actually ready, like done waiting ready, I know what I'm here for and I need someone to help me build it ready, please check the show notes to work with me. I do have a free podcast support group, okay, where I give away everything. You guys, I'm not gatekeeping. I don't have some secret formula I'm using, but I can tell you I'm one of the fucking best in the arena, not just with a show, but actually in the interview space. And I tell you exactly how to get there. There are paid options. If you want to move really fast, I'm happy to do that with you. But other than that, it's absolutely free. You're seeing behind the scenes the real struggle, the real victories, like everything ugly and beautiful behind the curtain. Okay. The group is free. Please get in there. If you just want to be a guest or you want to build your own show, or you have a show and you're looking for more guests or just a community that understands that we're in the fucking arena and podcasting is not for the faint of heart, but it is the most incredible modality of networking that I've ever seen. And I've been in network marketing for over a decade. And I'll tell you, nothing has brought me to more people, closer relationships, and faster than this space. Okay. That cold market fucking DM bullshit on Facebook is dead. Posting in groups is dead. I'm telling you, that podcasting is where it is at, especially with all of the AI that's going on. You can't trust anything on the internet, but your podcast, okay, with between video and voice, people are going to feel the humanity in that. And coming up, a lot of people are going to be missing real humanity. So now is the time to get started. Not a year from now when everyone's freaking out because everything's fake and robotic, okay? I say start building now. Get in that free group. You guys, message me if you're really ready to rock and roll. That's fine. Show notes, that's it. You guys, I want you to tell me your story, okay? Come on my new show, Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. Tell me why you're the one that needs to be heard, because I genuinely want to know what makes you special. And the calling is not waiting for you to feel ready, okay? Just know that today. It's just waiting for you to decide. Love you guys.